Community Conversations with Community Centres SA. Here's Kerry Ackermans.
Today we'll be talking about human need. And the Department of Human Services is the department that looks after all the humans in our state. And it's led by Sandy Pitcher, CE, and we'll be talking to her on the podcast today. They have a very wide brief. There is so much challenge out there and so much need, but limited resources. The department takes a preventive approach, as you'll hear today in the podcast in my discussions with Sandy Pitcher. Well, welcome to the Community Conversations podcast, Sandy. Delighted to have you here with us today.
Thanks so much, Kerry. Thanks for having me.
So, Sandy Pitcher, what a wide brief you have with the Department of Human Services CE, because there is so much need, but there's only so much resource.
Oh, absolutely. And I think sometimes people do say, what is the Department for Human Services? Certainly my family are like, what is your job? And absolutely, it really is at its core all about humans. It's about our community. So heading up this department in South Australia, it really is about how do we make South Australians thrive and how do we help all of the different parts of our community have access and support for the things they need.
Now, Sandy, you have a very strong background in government and in working in departments. What have you been able to bring in from your other departments into the Department of Human Services?
Well, I have been almost a lifelong public servant, which is a very long life.
Is that a lot of gold watches? Do you do those anymore? Probably not.
I've got sort of a UK one, a Canberra one, a Victorian one. And look, the thing is that for me, it's working with purpose. And so for the Department of Human Services, it's about putting people and purpose at the middle and really being driven by how we can help people. And, you know, there are portfolios in human services like disability, so people would probably understand, you know, that's us looking after people with disability, but also advocating, making sure that we have a strong plan for people going forward about what it means to be a disability-friendly state. And autism is another area of disability that we've really focused on, and how do we become an autism-friendly state, and South Australia is really trying to lead Australia and the world in that. But your question, what have I learnt from other places? Well, I headed up the Department for Environment and Water in South Australia.
That's where we first met.
Exactly. And, you know, I loved doing that work. And what was so fabulous, and I want that spirit to be in human services and reverse, which is thinking about all of our community, not just the environment when we're in Department for Environment, but the way people use and live in the environment. So one of the best examples was Healthy Parks, Healthy People, where we actually looked at our natural environment and how do we keep that strong and healthy and thriving. And how do people use the environment to become healthier themselves? So going for a bushwalk will be one of the best ways that you can look after your own personal health, much better than a gym, because you're getting outdoor air, you're getting microbes, you're getting all of that environment in. And that biodiversity that you get in our parks, it's such a gift for the community of South Australia. And it's how do we make them safe and accessible for as many people as we can, while keeping them strong and thriving for our generations ahead.
And of course, Sandy, I would know, having worked in the water industry, the diversity of stakeholders, and that's exactly what you have in human services.
Absolutely. And, you know, I would say to every South Australian listening to this, you're all a stakeholder of Department of Human Services, and we are here for you. And actually, our work often does touch everyone. So we tend to look in areas of vulnerability for our most strong services, but we do everything from looking at concessions. So some of your listeners would be looking for different concessions. We support people with energy concessions for cost of living. We help fund community centres, which I'm sure you've spoken about. So any member of the community can access those. We work with a whole diverse range of people in carers, in youth, in ageing. Homelessness services are part of my department, and family violence and child support services too.
So and food security now as well.
Food security, absolutely. And thinking about food security, not just in our population in the city, but in regional areas and in remote communities too. And some of the challenges that people have in remote and regional communities are really different. We've both grew up in the country. It's different to what happens in the city, and just being that, seeing that diversity and letting that happen and understand what people need and how their needs are different.
And Sandy, you've just mentioned also about older people, and of course Office of Ageing has now come under the umbrella of Department of Human Services, which makes absolute sense.
It does.
And of course community centres have always been well known for having older people, but we do now really carry that cradle to end of life, because we're bringing intergenerational playgroups, trying to encourage more youth. So it's a great partnership, and that support of community centres is so important, which we of course appreciate. But it's also somewhere somewhere where Department of Human Services can use as an access to the demographic you're trying to get, because often Absolutely. That's where they go because they feel welcome.
Absolutely. And it also is a way of the community helping the community, because it's great that government can be there, but actually the strength of people in the community finding each other, building friendships, building that support network, that's the real resilience and health and wellbeing that, you know, really can help make us thrive. And we see that in lots of ways. We saw that supporting the floods along the river where, you know, we were able to use community centres to set up base and help people, but actually the community was able to use that base to help each other. And other support areas that we can do, helping families, so families who want to access different early learning centres, the children's centres, and really making it easier for people who might have transport challenges or other challenges to be able to get that community support happening around them.
And we do see, Sandy, that multicultural element in our community centres, because people are looking for somewhere to go where they can find people yeah. that they can relate to, but also somewhere where they feel there is a warm referral to other services. It's not like a government office.
Yeah.
Community centres welcome anyone and everyone with a smile and a cup of tea, usually.
That is right. And then it's just, it's more of an experience of a community life rather than I needed help and I got help. So we want it to be less transactional and more embracing, absolutely. And even just thinking of multicultural, when you said that, we actually have the translating service in my department too. So if any people need that translation service, whether they're dealing with a legal system or other things, that translation opportunity is there as well.
And you mentioned previously, Sandy, about transport, and that is one of the issues. And then if you look at health and well-being, that's a separate department. And then if you look at education, we know helps people better improve their lives. So that's an area. So you really are supporting the people, but you're impacting on a lot of other departments as well. That must create a challenge for you trying to manage all of those relationships and who does what, where that responsibility starts and ends.
It does. One of the things that I say to all of my staff, and I hope that people feel this when they deal with the Department of Human Services, is we have lots of big system departments, health, education, transport, and often what we're doing with human services is helping those who kind of fall between the cracks or can't quite access the universal service in the same way. And we work both with the services to be much more open and accessible, because that's the best thing we want. We want all of the state services to be available to everyone. But sometimes people need extra support or help to be able to do that. And human services are there to help them as individuals, families and communities to make that happen.
So what a way to put it be, Sandy, that you really are the glue and the bridge.
I think we are. We're the glue. We're a bit of the sort of foundation stone to catch people. And we love also being a bit of the umbrella too. We want to bring lots of people and diversity in under together, so that rather than people feeling like it's siloed life and they have to go here and here and here, that they can actually be the whole person, their whole community, and get help and support from us as they are.
I'm talking to Sandy Pitcher, CEO of Department of Human Services. Sandy, a lot too is that people think that their issues are only their own, but we know that they're actually shared regardless Absolutely. Of where you grew up, where you've come from, what your background is, it doesn't matter. For older people, digital literacy is an issue. For younger people, sometimes it's finding employment or where they don't quite fit in. They're actually common issues regardless.
Absolutely. And I do think often people do feel alone, and we really understand that and think they're the only one going through it. And I've got so many great qualified staff who've really worked with families in so many ways. And usually the message they can give is, we can solve this. We've worked on this before. We know some answers. There are places to go. And that's really that support that we want people to feel, whether it is family violence they're experiencing or whether they've got family with disability and they're hitting challenges, or that aged care system and having that retirement village opportunity coming and not knowing how to traverse it. There's just so many different ends of people's spectrum that we can be there for.
Absolutely. Now, you've just mentioned about family violence, Sandy, very important topic, very hot topic, and of course with the Royal Commission. Can you comment on where that is from your department's perspective now? What action you are able to take moving forward, if any?
Yeah, so at the moment, my department is the lead area on family violence. We've got the Office for Women and the Office of the Prevention of Family and Sexual Violence. So we've got staff whose day-to-day work is actually working both at the crisis end of supporting the phone lines and other areas, as well as getting programs to help perpetrators change their behaviour and help families find new homes and get back on their feet after violence has changed those circumstances. So we've got a whole lot of services there. But what the Royal Commission, led by Commissioner Natasha Stott-Despoja, is doing is having a big look at what is the whole system in South Australia and beyond. and where could improvements happen, and how can we change the trajectory of the amount of violence that we have in our community and the impact that it has? And some of the areas that we're looking at are really a new way of looking at the way people experience violence. So we haven't necessarily over the last 30 years looked at the way children experience domestic violence. They're sort of seen as people who are bystanding and viewing rather than experiencing the violence in that circumstance.
Scarily, they're seeing role models of their future behaviour if there isn't an intervention.
That they are. And also, you get affected by seeing violence as well as receiving violence. And so we know that we need to make changes there, and we need to look at everyone in that family for their experience, not as someone who's attached to that family. And so there's a lot of power in thinking differently about that model and how do we keep people safe in a different way. And so that's one of the things the Commission's looking at. And we're also learning really from the rest of Australia and around the world about the different ways that drug and alcohol or other issues can actually exacerbate family violence. And so things rarely happen in a vacuum. There's often a whole lot of other circumstances there. So the Commission's really looking at all of those issues. And I'm really proud my department's pulling together work and ideas from all over South Australian Government and beyond. And there's great evidence and information from SAPOL, who see a lot of family violence on the doorstep. You know, they're the biggest first responder. And then we have the homelessness and housing services, who spend a lot of energy and time working with families about safe housing. And then we have the court system, where intervention orders and other tools are a really big part of the family violence system. So there are so many parts just in our government right now who are working there, and they've all got areas that we think can make improvements. So there's a really big opportunity for South Australia.
Well, that's really interesting, Sandy, because, of course, one of the first tenets of community development is co-design and collaboration, and your department is enacting that on focusing on a really tough challenge. So that's really good to hear, because often that isn't common with governments, is they will continue to just work in that siloed way rather than saying, who can we pull all this information from? Because it is an intricate, complex piece, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And I think one of the things the Royal Commission's doing, and we're helping support them, is actually getting people to fill in a survey about their experiences and what observations and advice they would have from having experienced violence or seeing violence occur in their family or their community. And there are just so many different ways that and ideas and information that we're getting from people. And it really is that sense of people looking back sometimes at what happened and reflecting what could have changed for them. So there's great power in that co-design, but also kind of pulling together the lessons and stories that people have.
And Sandy, would some of those lessons be, and I particularly would look at women in this situation, but it's not just only women who experience violence, as we know, but for them who may not have the financial literacy because they left it to their partner, is that they're the sort of things we can be preventive about, is to ensure that everybody has a basic financial literacy about their own life, and they should be in control of that.
Absolutely. That's a huge part. And some of your listeners would know about coercive control, and we've been talking much more about understanding not just the physical violence but the emotional and power dynamics that can exist and how we can learn those behaviours as young children and carry them through. And we need to sort of break those cycles and break those patterns. And coercive control really gets us to look at things like the way money is used in the relationships to control behaviour, and also things like mobile phones, you know, tracking people, knowing where they are, using that as a power thing. So we're really keen to educate the community and work with the community about examples of where behaviours that might have seemed fine until you really look back and realise what was going on and realise what gradually over time was building into coercive control. And that's a really strong and important new area that we're looking at.
Sandy, it's also what people are told and what they believe. So if they are taught to believe that they couldn't do it, they're not smart enough, you don't understand, I handle the money, you don't,
yeah,
that's what you're going to move forward with. But anybody can understand basic financial, how to live your life.
Oh, and that's right. And the undermining of confidence can really take away from people's experience of whole many elements of their education, their social life, their work life. So that undermining of confidence is something that we want to build back up and recognise and really give people that self-empowerment. And financial self-empowerment is really important. Employment and access to employment is often a really big stepping stone for people. There's a lot of those tools that we have in the toolbox.
And talking about community, as we always do, Sandy, is it also that it's helping community to be aware that you can observe and help someone speak up? Because a lot of people don't speak up for fear of embarrassment and shame. But if you can recognise there may be something going on, how do you start those conversations?
I'm so glad you raised that, Kerry, because I think both in family violence and in child protection, there'd be two examples really close to my heart. we actually need to have the whole of community take the responsibility, not just in sort of calling the police or calling the child protection line, which are important and we ask people to do those, but actually thinking about the role you can play in role modelling good behaviour, calling out some bad behaviour of colleagues, family, friends, and actually role modelling to young children what respect looks like, both in respect between adults and children and respect between other adults. And that is a really powerful change. And I think if we can think about that whole of community responsibility, it's sort of like the version of us all collectively knowing we need to wear seatbelts or wear bike helmets or, you know, take that responsibility about not drink driving. It's how do we keep our community collectively safer and have that responsibility? It can't just sit, and it will never be great if we're just relying on the emergency responders, because we need to do the prevention much further back on the line.
That's where you really want to be. It's like I always say with a charity, your job is to do yourself out of a job.
Exactly.
And it's exactly the same. Don't get more responders, have less need for responders. So let's look at another parallel, Sandy, that I always like to use, is let's take littering. I can't stand littering. It really bothers me. In fact, I will take people into account when I see it.
Good on you.
When you go overseas and go away, we're really in such a better position. And why? Because people are horrified, especially now with environment and climate change. We know the impact that plastics and rubbish has on wildlife and in the sea. I have to say, I saw someone put a butt on the ground the other day. We're coming into summer and saying, excuse me, can you please pick that up? You may start a fire with that, besides the fact it's actually against the law. Doing my little...
It's good on you.
But it's that same thing you should feel if someone is doing this. Excuse me, I'm feeling uncomfortable with that inappropriate behaviour in front of me, you know?
Yeah, and
people
I think... go,
oh, well, you'd be amazed if they didn't.
No, that's right. But I think it does show too that that's something I think we as a community can help teach people, because right now I think people want to help sometimes, but they don't know how to. And certainly we have people come to us and say, I'm worried that someone's experiencing violence in my family, or worried that a friend of mine's experiencing violence. I don't know what to tell them. And so we have those kind of supports and other things, which I think is a really big place that we can continue this community education, because if we can all help our friends and family who are experiencing violence, and the rate of violence is very high, so the chances are that people will know someone who is experiencing violence in their community, and certainly might know someone who's got children who might have some support or other issues needed. What can we do as a community to be part of the solution?
Well, I look at things like the coercive control, where people are meeting together as groups, particularly with women, and I'm sure other women would know because it would come out in conversation. Oh, we're going to, I can't go. I'm not sure. Well, why aren't you sure? Because they wouldn't know, or if that money could be available, or if they can do things. But you're right, you need that education. So it's so much about education. As it was, my point about littering is, once no one even thought about it, you just throw on the ground what you throw on the ground. But now, particularly with young children, with Clean Up Australia, and it's a thing now. We need stopping domestic violence, or calling that to be a thing. That's just what you do.
That's so right. And I would say as well, the best part of it is it shows that we can change community, we can change society, because what we used to do 30 years ago there and what we're doing now is a huge improvement, both on recycling and littering, all those things. So
people frown.
Yeah.
But I look overseas and there is so much litter everywhere, which is not helping on beaches and everything.
Yeah, and it does show that society can make... I've been to Japan. I don't know if you've ever been to Japan. There is a place with almost no litter. You'll be so happy there, Kerry. And that just shows there's a community and a society expectation there that is different from some of the other countries that you're seeing. And so... do you remember being a kid from South Australia, and if you travelled interstate, there would be all these bottles and cans on the roadside?
I know.
But you would never have that here, because we had our container deposit scheme. So sometimes you need government intervention to kind of incentivise people. Sometimes you need that community pride to incentivise people, and most of all you need education and that kind of openness to change. And I think our community is really open to want to say no to violence and actually learn how to change it. But some of it is going to be about us recognising that it is so common that it's not just about shame. It's actually about helping people stop their violent behaviour. And that's actually going to be taking some big leaps to help people recognise what they're doing and make a change. It's not just as easy as saying, you're bad, stop it.
Absolutely. And let's take something else. Let's take smoking. Now, once upon a time, everybody smoked. It was just something people did. Now, I know we have the vaping. Let's leave that aside, because that was brought in by an industry seemingly safe. We now know that it's not. But now people smoke, oh, you smoke, as if it's some sort of odd thing that someone's doing now. Never before. And that's community change, isn't it? In fact, it you have is. To go outside of the outside in order to do that.
That's right. And, you know, our kids, this generation now, just won't see smoking in the way that other generations did. And so we will be making that change in a generation.
Yeah. So you know there's hope for it.
Absolutely.
So if you did have a magic wand, what you have to do, Sandy, in balancing all of this competing need must be really challenging because you've all got great hearts. I think you have a fantastic team and it's a credit to yourself and the minister for the team you put together. They would love to help everyone, but it's a challenge. How do you manage it?
It is a challenge, and I think the help that people need isn't always what they self-identify as well. So sometimes government's there with, here, we've got all of these services, and someone's thinking, I don't want that service, I want this. But I think the thing that we try and do is that part we were talking about before, help people and help community much further up the line so that we're not in crisis. So everything for us is, how do we help earlier, stop the crisis, give people the tools and skills themselves to help themselves? So whether it be things like financial literacy or financial counselling so that they don't get into the crisis, they can stop it, or working with families to build up parenting skills. You know, we've got positive parenting programs. Being able to do that themselves before they get to a sort of crisis end, intervening in sort of relationship angst before it gets to patterns of violence and patterns of behaviour. So all of those things are demonstrations where we want to do the work earlier to make the difference. But it's hard. It's harder to measure. And we all get drawn to the crisis because we want to make sure the crisis doesn't happen as well. So it really is a balancing act there. I think things like the NDIS, and I think you've probably talked about the National Disability Insurance Scheme before, that's something that at its best gives people that autonomy to choose what services they need to manage their disability. And we need to be able to think of ways to do that in the way that can share the resources amongst most people so that those limited resources can be shared amongst everyone who needs them.
And I think too, Sandy, is we want community to really develop as communities. And what I mean by that is it's almost like developing good citizens.
Yeah.
And citizen is the best word I can come up with for now. But to the point where I always used to say, I used to do a lot of training in regional areas about trying to help a whole town. I'd say, look at your whole town. Make sure there isn't litter. Make sure your shops are tidy. Help people when they come in. And people come in and go, oh, I really love visiting there, which helps tourism, yeah, which helps your whole town.
Exactly.
All together as a community.
Yeah, that's right. And there's so many great examples of that. But, you know, I think at its core, there's always more need than there is funding. And so, you know, it is sometimes about hard choices, but it is also trying to work out where you can make the biggest effect and help the most people who really are in the greatest need.
And from that preventive measure, yeah, rather than not just the reactive.
Absolutely.
Well, Sandy Pitcher, have a huge task, but I know you and the Minister and the team are up for it, and I really appreciate you coming on the program today to share this information.
Thank you, Kerry, and thank you for having us, and thank you for all the support of the Department of Human Services.
And thank you for listening and engaging with our community conversations today. Every week, we aim to bring you stories from far and wide, across South Australia and beyond. People who are game changers in our community, doing great work, plus general topics of community interest. If you have any subjects you think we should cover or any other feedback, please let us know at communitycentressa.asn.au and feel free to share this podcast so we can engage more people in our next community conversation.
Community Conversations. For more information, check out communitycentressa.asn.au.